This is Blooming Under You, As If You Were the Sun. Written by Last Rose of Summer. Read by Mistborn Hero. A All for the Game podfic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Jeremy Knox, Jean Moreau, as well as the characters Kevin Day and Alvarez. It is tagged for Soulmates, Soulmate Marks, Pining, Slight Changes to Canon. Summary: Jean doesn't have his soul mark anymore. Jean doesn't have his soul mark anymore. Back when he was younger, back when Rico was alive, back when he lived in the nest, back, Rico had him and Kevin tattoo something else over it. A big, dark raven. He still remembers it vividly, though. The colorful shapes and the smooth curves swaying gently along his heartbeat. The way it would sometimes follow the movements of his fingers if he touched it. Tattooing over a soul mark isn't easy. It isn't painless, either. But he had blundered through, and so had Kevin, and they had become better players for it. In the nest, Jean had been an Xe player first, and a human being second. Back then, there had been no place for soulmates in his life. Back then, he wouldn't have wanted a soulmate. Not if it meant he would drag them down with him. Not if it meant they would be subjected to Rico as well. Now Rico is dead. Now Rico is dead and Jean is no longer a raven. Now Rico is dead and there is Jeremy. Now there is Jeremy. Jean is laying down on Alvarez's lap, indulging her small talk as she plays with his hair when he sees Jeremy's soul mark. It is a bright, sunny day, and the Trojans are all chilling around Layla's pool. Jeremy is gorgeous, muscled, hot, wearing nothing but swimming trunks, and Jean immediately recognizes the colors, the lines, the rhythm of their shape he has right above his chest, right above his heart. Jean doesn't say anything. There is no way he could prove they are a match. Instead, he commits Jeremy's profile to memory, so he'll have something to think about that night, when he's feeling lonely, in the future, when they are no longer friends. Instead, he watches Jeremy swim, listens to his laugh and pretends nothing at all has changed, because it hasn't. After all, Jean was in love with Jeremy long before he saw the mark. He had decided not to say anything long before that decision had any relevance. Jean has moved from Alvarez's lap to the ground beside her, feet inside the pool. By the time Jeremy approaches them, wet skin and sunglasses, looking more angelic than he has any right to. "Is there something on my face?" he asks, dimples and laugh lines. He sits down heavily at their side, mimicking Jean and putting his feet inside the pool. He turns his head towards the two of them, and it is a shame Jean can't see his eyes. He likes them. "These sunglasses are way too big for you," Jean evades. He lets his accent bleed into his speech, tone morphed into righteous indignation. Jean sits up, plucks the sunglasses out of Jeremy's face and adds them to his own. "They look better on me, don't you think?" Jeremy's eyes are full of fondness, lips curled into a smile. Alvarez hooks her arm around Jean's shoulder, turns Jean's face towards her, and Mac analyzes his face intently, as if trying to decide whether she agrees. "No," she says, shaking her head, and Jeremy bursts out laughing. Sean feels his stomach swoop and feels himself smiling despite himself. Jeremy has a beautiful laugh. Sean would like to be the reason he's laughing more often, the reason he's laughing always, and isn't that way more damning than a tiny, little mark fate saw fit to add to his body long before he knew what was love? Jeremy tries to get his sunglasses back, and Sean dodges him and runs away, careless. The floor around the pool is wet, but he's having fun. He's a loud fun, and that isn't going to stop him. Jeremy throws himself into him, and they both fall into the pool. Sean is taller, so he's still keeping the sunglasses out of Jeremy's reach. Jeremy flings himself into Sean, and they wrestle. Jeremy wins because Sean lets him, and by the time Jeremy gets distracted by someone else, by something else, and Sean is back by Alvarez's side, she's looking at him with eyes that are unbearably knowing. He allows himself an act of childishness and pokes her until she gets annoyed enough to go somewhere else. That night, he dreams of tasting the salt of Jeremy's sweat on his skin. Nothing has changed. People say that soulmates are always well-matched, but Jean has always thought that was bullshit. Back then, it had seemed hilarious that God or the universe or whoever it is that matches soulmates thought Jean would be a good match for anyone whatsoever. Now the problem remains. Jeremy is too good. Jeremy is too good for Jean. Jeremy is kind and sunny. He's helpful and hardworking. He's happy. Jean, on the other hand, isn't. He isn't sure he could ever be. He doesn't understand Jeremy's easy happiness, the way he'll smile because it is a sunny day, or he finds a dog cute, the way he'll laugh at a dumb joke, or because a friend of his just landed a goal. For Jean, happiness is the thought that he'll never have to see Rico's face anymore, and not much else. He fears he might overwhelm Jeremy with his demons. He fears he might dirty Jeremy's golden presence with his darkness, his gloom. He fears he will taint Jeremy's purity with his sins. He fears his past might just burden Jeremy enough that he'll stop seeing the world as this beautiful, magical place where people are kind, and so he doesn't. He can't. He won't. You have a crush on Jeremy, Alvarez says. It is only the two of them in her room while she paints her nails bright red and they watch Mean Girls. She has taken it upon herself to introduce him to the world of chick flicks, or whatever it is they are called. He doesn't care. And she insists no one else would be brave enough to introduce them to him. Sean thinks that, secretly, she likes to hear him bitching about the plot. I do. He doesn't see the point in denying. She wasn't asking. She already knows. Why haven't you said anything? Jean pauses the movie and turns to face her. She is wearing a too large t-shirt. Her hair is on a ponytail, and she's not looking at him as she seems to be very interested on her own nails. Jean knows this isn't about him. Alvarez has had a crush on Lila for months. Why haven't you? She shrugs. There's a moment of silence before she looks up. What if we're not soulmates? Her voice trembles. What if we are? The way I see it, Jean starts. There's a pause in which he doesn't exactly know how to say what he wants, but Alvarez patiently waits for him. If she likes you, it doesn't matter if you're soulmates or not, you'll be happy. She shrugs again. He doesn't know what she expects to get from this conversation, and so he can't give it to her. It is unnerving. He turns to go back to the movie, to unpause it, but she stops him with a hand on his shoulder. You never answered my question.
Jean sighs.
I'm not the right person for him, he says, after some consideration. No matter what our marks say, he doesn't say.
Then you should take your own advice. She lifts the corner of her mouth, though it isn't quite a smile.
Jean shakes his head.
It is completely different.
Why? She frowns.
Jean thinks she knows what he will say. That he's not a normal person, that he has a dark past, that his time in the nest broke him beyond repair, that no one deserves to be settled with him for the rest of their lives, soul marks or no. That is absolutely what he's thinking, but he isn't going to say. Instead of answering her, Jean unpauses the movie, like the good friend she is. Alvarez lets him.
The thing about knowing Jeremy has his soul mark is that it opens up new avenues Jean had never considered before, which in turn makes it harder to pretend there is nothing going on between them beyond friendship. There is nothing going on between them beyond friendship. Maybe if he repeats it enough, he'll start to believe it. Maybe if he repeats that enough, it will become easier to follow through. Jean never built a pillow fort before. Jeremy thinks that is a travesty, so they build one. It's nothing fancy, apparently. Blankets and pillows and chairs, a few snacks. He does have to admit, however, that it is nice. And so he does.
You deserve nice things, Jeremy answers him.
There isn't much space at all, so they are both laying down on their sides, face to face. Jeremy has the prettiest eyes Jean has ever seen, and they are shining with amusement and something else Jean can't quite recognize.
I'll have to take your word for it, Jean shrugs, rattling the fort with the abrupt movement.
It will have to do, I suppose, Jeremy smiles. There's a moment of awkward silence in which Jean wonders what he should say next, and Jeremy just looks at him. It's too much.
You know what else I haven't tried?
Jean breaks the silence as he feels for a pillow behind him. Jeremy shakes his head. Jean gives him a devilish smile, which is all the warning Jeremy needs, apparently, because when Jean throws the pillow he just grabbed at Jeremy's figure, he easily dodges and slams his own pillow against Jean's face.
You're on,
he says, sitting up. He holds his pillow with both hands and comes down with it several times before Jean can get his bearings and move away, sitting up also and seeking another pillow. He realizes now he shouldn't have thrown it. Having a pillow in his hands would be a lot safer now. He picks a random pillow around him, which happens to be part of the fort's structure. Part of the fort comes bearing down, blankets falling over him, and now he can't see. Jeremy takes advantage of that to hit him again several times.
Merde!
Jean elbows him, but it doesn't seem to deter Jeremy.
Language, he jokes, which startles Jean. He never knew Jeremy could speak French or would recognize it.
Once again, Jeremy takes advantage of his distraction. He throws his weight against Jean's and forces him down. The rest of the already precarious by then pillow fort topples over, and it is a tangle of limbs and elbows and profanities for a while until they are both free. Jeremy laughs, carefree. He's sweating, hair sticking to his face, clothes in disarray. Jean himself is probably a mess as well. But right then, it doesn't matter. All he wants to do is chase the smile off Jeremy's face, and he can't. Jean is used to being denied things. To deny himself on purpose is a new feeling entirely, but close enough to what he's used to for it to not matter.
He is protecting Jeremy. He needs to remind himself of that. It becomes harder the happier he feels, the farther he distances himself from the shadow of a person he used to be. It becomes harder every time Jeremy makes him laugh so hard he feels like he can't breathe. And every time Alvarez throws her arms on Jean's shoulders and messes up his hair, and every time he curls up with hot chocolate and a book under his dorm's window, feeling nothing but contentment. It becomes harder every time he lets out something about his past that he thinks Jeremy wouldn't know how to deal with, and instead of being shocked, Jeremy hugs him and files it away, and offers back a story about his childhood that he hasn't told Jean before. The Trojans have just won a game against the Ravens, Jean being decisive for their victory, and the first thing Jean does after it ends is hide himself in the locker room, unwilling to deal with his previous teammates and the Ravens fans. He's still in there, shirtless, Raven tattoo at display, gripping his Trojan shirt with white knuckles, when Kevin finds him. It has been a while since they last saw each other. Once they were friends. Once they protected each other. Once they were both in the nest. Now they don't have much in common beyond their past, beyond their bad blood. Jean wasn't expecting Kevin to be here, but now that he is, Jean somehow finds himself feeling less lost. Kevin sits beside Jean. "You're still favoring your right side," is the first thing that comes out of his mouth. It is such a Kevin thing to say that Jean finds himself laughing humorlessly. Kevin purses his lips, frowning, and doesn't say anything else. "It's good to see you, too," Jean says, half ironic, half honest. He lets go of the shirt he had been holding, puts it behind him on the bench they are sitting, and turns to look at Kevin. "We did play very well today. Thank you for saying that." Kevin raises his eyebrow. Jean realizes then that it isn't the answer Kevin had been expecting from him. He realizes then that he isn't the same person he was when he last saw Kevin, that he has changed. Jean wonders, as he shrugs, if his face somehow shows how much he's feeling, if Kevin has realized what just happened, if this moment is as groundbreaking to his friend as it is to him. "Congratulations on the win," Kevin amends, awkward. "You deserved it. He pauses. In the seconds it takes him to settle on a sentence, Jean can hear all the things he doesn't say. It seems like Kevin isn't the same either. Old Kevin would never sound awkward. He would never be nice. "You did well today." Rico would have hated it. The thought makes Jean smile. Kevin smiles along, nodding slightly. Jean can't remember the last time that he saw a Kevin smile that wasn't his fake, bright white media smile. This one looks better. "He would," Kevin agrees with him, sighing softly. His eyes are distant, but he's still smiling. "He would." It occurs to him that Rico would hate everything about what happened after he died. The Ravens losing, Kevin thriving, his perfect court dismantled. The night is young, the Trojans have won, and Rico is dead. Only one thing is missing now. It is a celebratory dinner. The Trojans are all packed together around a too small table. There are elbows and legs everywhere, and not enough space for them all to eat their pizza comfortably. Lila has given up on a plate entirely and is currently eating with her hands. Alvarez enthralled every time she licks her fingers. Jean himself isn't eating anything. Empty plate and a glass of soda. Instead, watching Jeremy. Jeremy, who is excitedly talking to one of their other players, John. Waving his hands around, bright eyes and flushed cheeks. Half-eaten slice of pizza, already forgotten. Beer can, still in hands. Jeremy, who will once in a while search the table for Jean, smile at him and wink, and then go back to the conversation as if he had done none of those things. Jeremy, whose soul mark is a perfect copy of the one Jean carried once upon a time. Jeremy, who sometimes makes him feel like bursting, but sometimes make him feel like peace and quiet and infinite. The night ends too soon. Jean doesn't notice the minutes slipping by. Perhaps for the first time, Jean isn't thinking about how much he doesn't deserve Jeremy. Instead, he lets himself imagine what would happen if he held Jeremy's hand, kissed Jeremy's lips, and told Jeremy he loved him. He imagines Jeremy would smile at him, soft.
We need to talk, Jean says. It is early morning, the birds are singing, and Jean has just made them coffee. Jeremy is looking at him with half-lidded eyes, still barely awake, hair sticking out everywhere. There are pillow marks on his left cheek. Jean waits until Jeremy takes the first sip, until he starts to wake up properly, before he goes on. He isn't nervous or anxious. He isn't afraid. It is a result of being next to Jeremy, he thinks. Jeremy always makes him feel reckless, feel brave, feel good. When I was younger, he starts. It is both easy and hard to keep on saying it. When I was in the nest, Rico made us all get tattoos. Jean closes his eyes. He feels the warmth of Jeremy's hand holding his, and opens his eyes to Jeremy looking back at him, steady. They were supposed to make us concentrate on the game and forget distractions. How would a tattoo do that? Jeremy frowns. Jean's smile is bitter and quick. They were drawn above our soul marks, he says, fast, like taking out a band-aid. Oh. Jeremy drags his chair closer, and Jean can feel his whole body's warmth. Jeremy looks wide awake now, big eyes and half-opened mouth, as if he can't believe Rika's cruelty. Oh, Jean, I'm sorry. Jean shakes his head. It's not your fault, and that isn't important. I'm not telling you this so you can feel sad about it. I'm saying it because it is why I can't show you my soul mark and we are... The word burns on his throat, on his tongue, and he can't say it, though he doesn't need to. Jeremy is looking at him with wonder on his eyes, a smile on his face, and so much more happiness than Jean has ever seen on a person before. He takes Jean's hand up to his mouth and kisses all of his knuckles, one by one, before he lets go of them and holds his face. It's too much, but this time Jean doesn't do anything to distract him from the moment. We're soulmates, Jeremy whispers. Odd. Jean nods. Time seems to slow down as Jeremy approaches him, bit by bit. They kiss, and Jeremy tastes like coffee with too much sugar. Jean loves it. Jean loves him. We're soulmates, Jeremy whispers again, against his lips. Jean feels the warmth of his breath. He nods again. Yeah, we're soulmates. And nothing else is missing. The end.
This has been recorded for ITPE 2024 as a gift for Nani. I hope you've enjoyed. While I like All for the Game, I've never actually gotten a lot into, like, Jeremy Sean ship. Also, I'm pretty sure Sean is how you say it when you're trying to say it in the French way. So I hope I didn't, like, mess it up and have to record this. But anyway, so I didn't. So my plan was to ask Flower Parish for Rex, but instead I was like, well, I don't really want to ask without, like, first reading the Sunshine Court, which I should read. So instead I went to Sirius Bookmarks and read them, and there was this one which was a soulmate AU, and it was in Nani's likes, so ta-da! And I really liked it, so I hope you like it too, and yeah, thank you for listening, and please remember to drink some water today. He sits, he leans, he lets his accent bleed into his speech, seeing the world as this beautiful, magical place where people are kind, and so he doesn't, he can't, he won't. Ah, my leg cramped. I think it helped the tone because my voice got more strained, but oh my god, that's a cramp. And so, he doesn't, he can't, he won't. There is nothing going on between them beyond friendship. Jeremy drags his chair closer